Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Oh, I get by with a little help from my friend. I get high with a little help from my friend.
Hi, did he say hi, hi? 34 after the hour. Welcome to Doug, Victoria, and Rich on the radio. Speaking of hi, the third skyscraper of the World Trade Center has now gotten up to the full height of 80 stories. Victoria, can you see this out your window? You live in Manhattan. Can you see the World Trade Center buildings?
Not from my building, but because I'm on the Upper West Side. But if I head a little bit south, then I'm able to see the World Trade Center, yes.
I'd forgotten that they were putting other buildings in there. There were a lot of people who attended what they call the topping out of three World Trade Center, the third of four towers that have been built on the site of September 11th. Members of the construction team autographed a two-ton bucket that had been used to haul concrete. Can you imagine? This is something that blows my mind. Think about this for a second. You're 80 stories up, and there's a crane on top of a thin column attached, riveted to, and bolted to the steel superstructure of the building. So as the building goes up, this crane goes up, and the operator sits on top of this. I'm getting chills just thinking, my stomach getting upset, just thinking about this guy who's sitting in one seat in a cab on a device that is attached to the steel superstructure of this building, and he's got a chain or some kind of a strapping device that goes down 80 stories, hooks to a two-ton bucket that's loaded with cement, and then he hauls the machine at his direction, hauls that bucket of concrete up to the top of the building. And so that two-ton bucket was inscribed by the people who have worked on the building, and apparently it's going to be in some proper place as a memorial. They were watching it as it hoisted to the top of this building, the last bit of concrete. This building has cost $2.5 billion to build. $2.5 billion. I don't think in 1960, whatever, when they built the trade towers, that together I don't think they cost $1 billion to build. That was then, and this is now, obviously. But I'm more attached to thinking about this bucket that hauls the concrete up 80 stories to the top of the building. And they use it, they put it on floors and stuff. I mean, think about it. When you think, the longest
80 stories is enough to freak me out. Yeah, I just really love heights.
We have one of these going on outside of the window right here of the studios. They're building a brand new building next door to us. And
where? Put it into perspective for me, because
remember that ugly blue building that was the college campus that was right out our window? That really 1960s ugly blue building? It's
toward
gone.
Toward the highway?
Toward the intersection.
Okay, yeah, across from the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, really?
Exactly.
They tore it down. There's a hotel on the other corner.
And they're putting up a new building. And this is only going to be, I don't know, 15 stories, I guess it is.
Yeah.
And I watch that crane every day because they're only on the first story so far. They've done the parking garage, and now they're doing the first story.
Yeah.
And you can see that crane when you watch the top of it and use the building across the street as the backdrop. You can see it swaying a good 8 feet in the wind. Yeah. Back and forth.
Cranes in New York City tend to not have a great track record, so that always freaks me out.
When I was the ops director, operations man at WEI in Boston in the mid-80s, there was a hurricane that blew through in the fall of 1985. And I remember being up there with the news department, because that was the news station in town at the time. And obviously we had to be there to take care of the news. And we put a plum to the middle of one of the doorways and watched it as the 90-mile, 100-mile-an-hour wind blew the building back and forth, moving this plum about a foot in either direction. We're sitting on top of that. You don't think that's a wake-up, rise and shine call. Woo! Man. Some people in the news. Blake Lively speaking out to claims that she was a racist. What do you think of this? She joked on Instagram about having an L.A. face and an Oakland booty. There are pictures that go with this. I was trying to use my imagination to be tactful. She's 28 years old. She posted lyrics. Richie, have you got, remember Sir Mix-a-Lot and Baby Got Back?
Yes.
If we have that handy by there, the trouble that she got herself into was posting the lyrics to this song along with a photo of herself in a very, very, very fitted gown when she was on the red carpet at Cannes. The caption read, quote, L.A. face and Oakland booty. She did not remove the post. Rapper later also came out to defend her, saying that it meant the beauty norm has changed. Blake has her second child cooking there. I would never want to hurt anybody's feelings or upset anybody. I was celebrating my body. Nice to have curves and not look like you're starving to death. I would say she was very attractive. I love curves like that. Remember when this first came out? Let me think now, Regina. Was I with you? Yeah, we were playing this. We played this.
What year is this song? This was before us. This was the 80s. It was the late 80s.
1992.
Yeah.
92. Yeah. But I remember playing this on the air and having people say, what in the world is that? But this was a standard, frankly. This song set a standard for trash talk on the radio in terms of music. Don't you? But it's just a silly song about a woman with a big butt. That's all it is. Yeah. Yeah.
It is funny how this one song became kind of a cultural phenomenon.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I mean, everybody knows this song. Yes. 30 years later, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Everybody knows
it. Yeah, exactly. All right, so anyway, that's the story of Blake Lively. I don't think she should say. I mean, you're a racist no matter what. Everybody's got a problem with something. Come on.
I'm married to a Latina, and they are proud of their sexuality.
Yep.
And you go to any other country, and women don't look at it. Like, here, everybody's... We have to cover up if we're attractive or... And it's so ridiculous.
Yep.
Or you're a sexist pig if you find a woman attractive. And
or talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we've covered that or uncovered that. Next, Sheryl Sandberg, who was the Facebook chief operating officer, said she was helped by a lot of women. Her husband died, earlier this year, I think it was. Wasn't it?
Or was it the end of last year?
Was it the end of last year?
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe, yeah.
She launched a campaign called Together Women Can, driven by her organization Lean In, urging women to help each other in the workplace become allies and not rivals. Isn't that interesting? Megyn Kelly is in this group. Kerry Washington is. Serena Williams, Eva Longoria, Lena Dunham, sharing stories about their female mentors. And that's what's been posted as a result of Sheryl Sandberg trying to put herself into a place of feeling good about herself after her husband died. You know, this brings to the surface something that I find this difficult, frankly, because so many women feel with good reason that they are not respected to the same degree that men are in any number of ways. I mean, let's go back to the story about the rape. They aren't.
Mm-hmm.
That those judges and the stuff that they're getting away with it's completely disrespectful. So do you blame women who get upset and say they don't trust men in general or specifically because of things like this? I find these sorts of things appalling. And then you think to yourself, oh well, will they go too far in protesting? What does that mean? What is going too far when it comes to something like this and being specific about what it is that you expect out of life? So anyway, this new women's campaign is aimed at getting women to... And I think there is a lot of this stuff. The reality is that a lot of women are catty, and men are too. You see, that's the other side of it. Men are gossips. I think men are worse gossips than women are.
Women, I would agree with that.
But women sometimes there's something and I don't know, and I shouldn't be the one who says this because I'm not a woman. It'll have no credibility from me, but it might from you if you agree with me. If you don't agree, that's okay too, Victoria. But I wonder about sometimes women protest too much as to the generalities of men, and you know, all men are this, that, and the other thing. It's like Venus and Mars. Do you think that's the case, that women are sometimes too critical of all men? Everybody gets put into this category. Oh, you know, men, they're all like this. Or, and maybe the same can be said for men. Women, they're all like this.
Yeah, I feel like it comes more from men, the generalizations about women. You know, I think there are some women who, and it's usually linked to some sort of a childhood thing or, you know, daddy issues, as people like to say. But, like, I hear women complaining about men sometimes. I personally don't find that. I don't know. I love men, and I think men are wonderful, and I am very, very fortunate to have so many wonderful men in my life, so I just don't have
that
perspective.
Here we are, Richie, two wonderful men in her life.
I'm not sure whether we were two of the ones she's talking about.
Men in my little girl's life. I remember that song. All right, yeah, that's good. That's all. Everything is changing. The mores, standards, that sort of thing are changing, and it's for the better. As far as I'm concerned.
But I do think on the Sheryl Sandberg thing, I do think that it's a wonderful campaign to promote women helping other women.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and there has been a cultural shift, and even to Taylor Swift's squad. And I think as soon as she started hanging out with all of her girls very publicly on Instagram, and they would bake together and hang out and everything, it became a thing. It became cool to have your girl squad. And I think as women are trying to compete and find a way to properly compete in the workplace against men are not the enemies, but other women aren't the enemies either.
Yeah.
And it is a difficult thing to, you know, women talk about having it all and wanting to have it all. It is, they're just waters that women have to navigate that men don't.
Women,
so I just think it's a different perspective, different experience.
Meredith has her squad of friends and supporters that she spends a lot of time with. My daughter does. I see it around. It's good. I think that's good support stuff, frankly.
Yeah.
46 past the hour here on Good Day.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here taking your child in for their shots. Maybe you're getting a flu shot. Maybe you're afraid of needles. Or maybe you're just putting off getting a booster shot because you think it's going to hurt. What to do? Trick the brain. Here's the biological science of it. Well, the truth, shots hurt. But there are ways to minimize the pain. Now, according to a recent study in the Journal of Pain and Symptom Management, before you're stuck with a needle, ask the nurse to apply firm pressure to the injection site for about 10 seconds. The shot will hurt about one-third less. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, it has to do with competing brain pathways. The pinch pressure tricks the brain, and it sort of misses the sharp signal. Or maybe it's just as simple as the pinch hurts more than the shot. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Today on App Check, it's called World Book, but it's really a thin day in history calendar. Most entries are people born on this day.
No.
Weak content.
No.
World Book. Struck out.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. At HappyLandAudio.com, you can hear interviews with Hall of Fame artists telling their stories in their own words. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute.
Anything but clothes.
ABC Party.
Naked as a jaybird.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Club dudes witness ABC nudity.
Anything but clothes. Duct tape, garbage bags, towels. They were all sitting out at their picnic benches eating their dinner. Naked as a jaybird. What goes out of Glencoe. Cops don't come in there ever, do they? They walk out to the showers, whatever. They come out with a different person every day. It's apparently some kind of internet thing. We're going to be in this corner of campground. They all just start coming in there. Hey, Chico. Chico's shy. Chico's the prospect. Prospects are the ones that ain't been to Sturgis before.
American Biker Minute.
You got to do all the washing dishes and cleaning up, taking the garbage out.
Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Think green.
Harrison with you. New research suggests taking more B vitamins than the recommended daily allowance, and that can improve heart health and symptoms of depression, also working to improve energy levels and brain function. Natural News reports all B vitamins work together in a synergistic way. So if you don't have enough of one type of B vitamin, the other kinds simply won't be able to do their job. The biggest culprit? Stress. Whether it's emotional, like chronic anxiety, or physical, like surgery, stress brutally depletes B vitamins from the body. But there is an easy home solution. Lots of fresh fruit and vegetables. Choose organic and locally grown produce whenever possible while avoiding overcooked food, which destroys vitamin content. And eat more foods that are naturally filled with B vitamins, including oats, avocado, salmon, and Brazil nuts. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Here we have a focus on Brexit. Okay, so they voted. Wait a minute. We don't like the vote. Okay. Let's change the vote. Let's have another vote. let's. Can you imagine if we have a presidential election coming up in November and somebody wins and people say, wait a minute, I don't like this person. Let's have another election. Let's change it. Let's fix it. Let's turn it around. Can you do that? Well, I think there are some people in England who think they can do it. So it'd be interesting to see in the next few days how they deal with that. Meanwhile, the reaction to the Brexit vote was bad for stocks. This shows you, Victoria, how crazy the people are who are in this business. What possible connection could the Brexit vote have to radio and television stations and companies in America? Yet the stocks for radio and TV went off like 7%, 10%, 11% at the beginning of the day. They were back up to only off 3 to 6% on average by the end of the day. But I look at these things and I see what it is that influences all of us. And I think that we're all influenced by crazy stuff because I think a lot of people in the world are just plain crazy. Get down to brass tacks here. And there is no rhyme or reason. There's nothing that goes, well, people say nobody wants to advertise. It's bad news. And so that affects the value of newspapers. Why wouldn't you want to advertise? Let's say, what does the vote in England have to do with advertising to people who are reading your newspaper over here? There's no sense to any of this. And yet it's part of the conversation. All right, there's that story. 10 before the hour here on Good Day.